Huh? I just gave an illustration over there with the kids. And after my puppet had a session with them and talked a little bit, and I gave them a couple of illustrations, and I thought, well, I'll give you the same one. This, you know, one of these days, this right here is not going to be any good. Did you know that? What's going to happen is this thing is going to go up in smoke. It's not going to be any good. It's all going to be over. I guess we're ready for the invitation. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, please. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We're living in a day when you wake up the next morning and you better thank God you're alive, because the way things are going, we're not, I'm not saying we're living in the last days. I can't say that, but I believe it. but we are in perilous times, and the Bible talks about that. And the best place you can be in is in the haven of rest. And that means that you are a child of God. And you can rest on the truth of God's Word in the Bible. And know that when the fire does come, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful for that. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer of every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with you, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better to, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Have you ever told anyone why you are a Christian? Have you ever told anyone that you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, and why you are a child of God? If you haven't, like I heard a man say one time, I've only got one word for you. If you're saved and you haven't told anybody about it, and that word is shame. And he emphasized it. Happened to be a black man. He said, shame. I said, shame. Shame on you. If you haven't told anyone that you're a child of God, he said, shame, 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 shame. And you know, as I heard him say that, I just got smaller in my seat every time he said the word shame. But you know, he was right. You don't have much salvation, if any at all, if you don't tell others that you're a child of God. They need to know that. This world is going to hell. Time is running out. You need to tell people why you are a Christian. You need to tell people that you are a child of God, that you have passed from death unto life, and that you are going to heaven. Jesus made the statement to that one who trusted Christ, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. as the man was dying. But you don't have to wait to be on your deathbed to get saved. As a matter of fact, that's a terrible, terrible chance to take. You can go out in a twinkling of an eye. I've been in the presence of people before where they had to carry them out of the service and they were dead. I've been in situations where I've seen people close their eyes for the last time. You better be prepared to meet God. You better be prepared. You better tell people why you are a Christian. When I study the Christian life, there are many things that come to mind. Many sermons have been preached on the subject. I've heard messages and preached messages, and I'm sure your pastor has too, on how to be a Christian. You know, some people in this very town do not know how to be a Christian. They're religious, and some of them are sincere. Most of the people who believe in false religions are more sincere, listen, my opinion, than the average person who calls himself a child of God. I mean, they have to believe what some of the strange things they have to believe. Have you ever studied the Mormonism? Have you ever studied some false religions? And the way they have to exercise their faith, I think they have greater faith in their false gods and their false religion than many Christians have in Christianity. It's sad and it's a shame, but it's the truth. Have you ever told anyone, many sermons have been preached, on how to be a Christian? Many people in this town do not know how to be a child of God. They may be religious and sincere. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. You can think you're doing right, and it's all over. It's too late to make the choice then. So the Bible is teaching us, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the Bible teaches us who is a Christian. Many messages have been preached on that. The Bible also answers this question. There's no need to be in doubt. In John 1, 11 and 12, he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power. If he doesn't give you the power of God, you'll not come to salvation. And the only way to get that is to ask him for it. And then others need to know that we're a Christian. Do your friends know that you're a child of God? Do all of your relatives know that you've been born again? Without a shadow of a doubt, do they know? Have you ever said to them, I'm praying for you. I want to see you in heaven. Have you ever said to them, I'd like to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Now, you're my brother. And I've never said it. I should have said it before now, but I've never asked you that question. Are you 100% sure you're saved? This is the reason we are children of God. The Bible says in John 1:11, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the Bible is teaching that others need to know that we are Christians. You don't have much Christianity if your friends do not know about it. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly how to be a Christian, how you can know. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may K-N-O-W know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to give my reasons for being a Christian. What are the advantages? A young man, after hearing the advantages, said only a fool would reject Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Can you think of any good reason that any person would have for rejecting Jesus Christ, not wanting to be a Christian? Can you think of any good reason? Be ready. Tell people what the advantages are and the disadvantages of the Christian life. An old Scottish leader said, if I die and find out there is no God, no heaven, no hell, I haven't missed out on a thing because I enjoy living the Christian life. But she said, I know Christianity is real. So the Bible is teaching us. Now let me give my reasons. I am a Christian because of a longing in my heart. This is true of men and women everywhere. I remember this longing as a child. Do you? My mother had me in Sunday school. She had me in church all the time. I followed her out to a ladies' prayer meeting. Sitting on the front porch, I went to play with my friend, and he was gone from the house. I was 8, best I recall. But I remember the experience. Now, don't tell me you're saved if you don't remember when it happened. Amen. You didn't grow into it.
Right.
You know when it happened. Let me give you a quiz. Where were you at 9/11 when the towers were bombed? Everybody here could stand and tell me exactly where you were. We were in a meeting out in New Mexico, and at 7:30, I guess, something like that in the morning, we were still asleep in the house, and people said, oh, there goes another one. Another what? I know where I was. I know where I was when Franklin Delano Roosevelt died. I know. I was out in the backyard playing, 11 years of age, and my mother came to the back door. She's crying. She said, Bobby, the president just died. I know where I was when John F. Kennedy was shot. I was in Cambridge City, Indiana. I was out in the yard with the man who owned the house. We were out in the country, and my pastor that I was working with came to the door, and he said, Bobby, the president's just been shot. I can take you to the very spot. I know where I was. I know where I was when the capsule blew up and all of those inside the capsule went into eternity. I was in Pontiac, Michigan in a meeting and in the hospital, and when I went through the hospital to see someone and everybody's ganged up around the television, what do you think I did? I said, what's going on? And they told me the capsule just blew up. What am I saying? Don't tell me you're saved if you don't remember it. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't have a spot. If you don't remember the occasion. If you don't remember where you were. I was on my knees at 1412 Monroe Avenue in Evansville, Indiana. I know where I was. Just the age of 8. When you get saved, you know where you put your faith and trust in Christ. If you were driving down the road, you know about where you were when it took place. And if you don't know when it happened, you better hit the aisle and get a time this morning. That's the best thing you can do if you're a lost person in this building and a crowd this large. If you're without Jesus Christ, you need to join the crowd of the redeemed. You need to know for certain you're going to heaven. You say, how can I know? You look at the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, what are the advantages of being Christian? A young man, after hearing the advantages of being a child of God, he said, only a fool would reject Jesus Christ. as personal Savior. Be ready to tell people the advantages and disadvantages of the Christian life. An old Scottish lady said, if I die and find out there's no God, no heaven, no hell, I haven't missed out on a thing because I'm enjoying living the Christianity. I'm enjoying being a child of God. But we know Christianity is real. Amen. I'm a Christian because of a longing in my heart.
Amen.
And if you're lost today, there's something that's troubling you. Well, I'm lost and I'll go to hell. You don't even know how to reason. That's the most foolish statement that anybody could make. I'll have plenty of company. Bless your heart, you won't know anybody else is there, and you won't want anybody else to come. That's what the Bible says. I've got some five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this terrible place. They had Moses. Let them believe him. There's no way in the world. You're gone. It's too late. It's all over. It's eternal. So the Bible is telling us that we need to have the reason. Be ready to tell people the advantages and disadvantages of the Christian life. Because of a longing in my heart. It's true of men everywhere. The Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Why did the heathen dance? Why do the witch doctors chant and cut themselves? Why did mothers throw their babies to crocodiles and the Ganges? Why did Paul walk into Athens, climb up on Mars Hill, and tell the people how to go to heaven? Because of a longing. Because people have a longing. They try to satisfy this longing in different ways. They feel if I can just have a big house up on the hill, if I could just make a lot of money and not have to worry about where the next one's coming from. The way things are going, there was a big loss just recently. It can be a lot bigger than that pretty soon. Why do the heathen dance? The witch doctors cut themselves. Why all of these things? Wealth, material gain. Some of the most unhappy people in the world today are the wealthiest people. The Bible is teaching us there is only one way. Security. People want security. That's the desires of everyone. We have domestic problems. We are in a day where there's no harmony in the home, and without God, there's no security whatsoever. And the Bible says that there are those that seek pleasure, but some are trying to have a good time, but it's only for a season. It's all gone. People say, I'm not missing out on a thing. I'm having a good time. You've been listening to the devil, haven't you?
Yeah, come on.
He deceives you. Many feel sorry for themselves. Young people think that they can't go places that they want to go because their mothers won't bless them, their fathers won't let them. You better listen to mom and dad, and you better let that same feeling they have be born again into your life, and you realize what it is. I don't want to be doing anything that I shouldn't be doing when Jesus Christ comes. I want to know. I want to have the assurance. The Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Don't ever feel sorry for yourselves, Christians. Feel sorry for those who are blinded by sin, and a few minutes of sin will cause you to suffer the rest of your life. Be thankful for God's grace. That longing in my soul has found satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why I'm saved. I have sinned, and I need a Savior. And I came to that conclusion. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Until you confess that, there's no possible way that you can go to heaven. No way whatsoever. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price. You don't have to teach a baby to sin. We're all guilty before God. Psalm 14:3. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Forgiveness only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how sweet to know that my sins are blotted out. And when I stand at the judgment bar of God, my record will be clean through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saved because I need an outside power in my life. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives us power and strengthens us. I cannot live the Christian life, some people say. I need a greater power in the flesh. Well, the Bible says when you trust Him, greater is He than that is in you than he that is in the world. And I don't know about you, but I need the power of God in my life. I've seen people try to live it on their own, and they make a lot of big mistakes. You say, I know people that are lost, and they've got big houses and several cars. You know, that's it. And that's going to be the end of it, too. And they're going to leave it all to somebody else, and they're not going to take anything with them. And the only thing that you can take with you when you go to heaven is a saved, born-again soul and other people that you've told about the Savior. You can take them with you. For instance, if Jesus Christ were to come this very moment, this place is not going to be completely ended out, emptied out. It's just not going to be. You say, how do you know that? Because people come and put on a show, and people come to the church many times, and they keep looking at their watch, and they got a luncheon appointment, or they're wondering what's going on, or they came with their wife, and they said, how long is this guy going to preach? I'm ready to get out of here. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get out of here if the rapture comes. You're going to stay right here. If the rapture comes, it's going to be all over. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly that you have to realize you have sinned and need a Savior. Psalm 14:3, they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Forgiveness only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and how sweet to know that your sins are blotted out and you're going to stand at the judgment bar of God and your record is going to be clean through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that could come any time. In such an hour as you think not, most of it are not thinking at all, most all the time. So it could come at any time. And I'm a Christian today because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You see, I need an outside power in my life. In myself, I cannot live the Christian life. I need a greater power in my flesh. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I need the power of God in my life. So many are trying to live right in the flesh, but they failed. And there's no happiness. They're too weak. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we live as God wants us to live. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not but I live, but Christ liveth in me. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible is teaching us that Jesus Christ is coming again. A man had a dream. And he was driving down the interstate, and lo and behold, he looked on the side of the road, and there was the Lord alongside the road, waving, and he saw the Lord, and he pulled over to the side. He said, well, you're the Lord Jesus, in his dream. Yes. Well, get in. He thought, well, royalty always rides in the back of the car, so he opened the back door, and the Lord refused to enter. Well, he thought, how foolish of me. I should have let the Lord sit at least in the front seat with me, and he opened the front door. The Lord refused to go. And he went, oh, well, Jesus, I thought you want to. He said, I want the keys I want the keys. Does He have the keys of your life? Does He have the keys of your automobile? Does He have the key that opens your door? Does He have the key of your hopes? Is Jesus Christ in control of your life? The Bible is teaching us very clearly we need the outside power of our lives. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I need the power of God. So many are trying in the flesh to live right. They fail. There's no happiness. They're too weak. It's only through Jesus Christ can they live as God wants us to live. Galatians 2:20 should be the theme song of every one of our lives. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this. Christ liveth in me. And then I give another reason. I'm a child of God because I want to be ready to die.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You're not ready. You're not ready. As it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Hebrews 9:27. I want to be ready to die. I know of several with strokes, heart attacks. When I was pastoring, I got a call one day from a wife, and she said, Pastor, Bobby has just been stricken down at the railroad yard where he lives, and they're on the way to the hospital. I got there about the same time. And Bobby Cummins was at the point of death. And his wife was at the hospital. And then I went in to her and I said, I'm sorry. But Bobby just went into the presence of the Lord. And she broke down and wept. And she said, oh, Pastor, who's going to tell the kids? I said, I'll go. About a 15-minute drive to the hospital, from the hospital to the house. I knocked on the door. Seven kids came to the door. Oh, Brother Bob's here, Brother Bob's here, Brother Bob's here. I gathered them around like you gather a football team. Put my arms around as many as I could. They were all there from that tall on up to this tall. Gerald was there. He was educable slow. And he couldn't carry on a conversation. He could just make sounds and all, but he was there. And I said, Daddy went to the hospital a little while ago. They knew that. I said, but he left the hospital. He looked at me so different. I said, he just left to go to be with Jesus. Isn't that good? And they all started crying except Gerald. And when they were crying, he started crying too. And Bobby Cummins was in the presence of the Lord. Now, when you go out into eternity, what are people going to tell them about you? Or what do people know about you? They know a lot about you. They know a lot about me. And so the Bible is teaching here. The Bible speaks of death often. Life is so uncertain. I'm thinking of Tony Hollingsworth. She didn't feel good, Christian girl, cheerleader for a Christian university. And she didn't feel like going to church. Daddy and Mama came home and they couldn't get the front door open. It was hard. It was hard to get the door open. It was unusual. And they pushed it open. And right at the foot of the door was her teenage daughter. Dead. Gone. In such an hour that you're not thinking about it. These things are going to happen. The Bible speaks of death often. Life is so uncertain. Dan Sherman, the coach of the Crusaders of Tennessee Temple, dear friend of mine, with him several times up where he pastored in New England. I went in and I said, Dan, tell me what happened. He said, Bobby, I was sitting right in this chair. And he said, Eric, I just made tacos. That was his favorite. And he came up, jumped in my lap, hugged me, and said, "Daddy, you're the greatest cook in the world. I love you, Daddy." And he went in, and he said he went in the other room and laid down on that couch right there. And then his sister went to Sheila and said, "Mama, Eric's making some funny noises." She went over and called Dan, and Dan picked him up in his arms. They rushed him to the hospital, and the doctor said, "I believe he passed away right in your arms." Lad, just 8 years of age, gone in eternity. The Bible teaches that death is coming. My son was working at, when he was going to Tennessee Temple, at Red Food Store out in one of the suburbs. I can't think of the name of it right now. And there's a steep hill, and this car came down the hill, brakes went out, and went over the main road and bounced right into the top of a house. And there was the house of two sisters. They were getting well up in years, and the car plowed right into their bed. Now, they went to bed. They went to bed thinking that they're going to get up and go through their routine. But it was all over. You see, there's a reason. There's a reason we need to wake up when it's time. There was a man in my church by the name of Ira Middleton. And we took him fishing and everything under the sun. And I said, "Ira, you need to trust Christ." He said, I'm going to. I keep my promises. I'm going to. And I said, "Ira, you may not be able to." He said, "If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it." I said, "Well, why don't you do it right now?" He said, "Not right now, but I am going to do it." He went to the hospital with heart problems. I went in to see him. I said, "Ira, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?" He said, "Yeah, you're going to say I need to be saved." He said, "I'm going to get all right." And he said, "I'm going down to Alabama, and I'm going to buy a storefront, and I have my fishing poles in one corner." And he said, "I'll have my gun in the other corner. And if I want to, I'll just lock the door. I'll take my gun or my poles, and I'll go out and fish, or I'll go hunting. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm just going to spend." I said, "Ira, you may not be able to do that. You may not be able to do that." 3 days later, he was in eternity. And I've witnessed to him all those times. In such an hour as you think not. And most of the time, we're not thinking, "I'm a Christian because I want to go to heaven when I die." Dr. Harry Rimmer, a scientist and brilliant man of God, a preacher of the gospel, he heard Dr. Charles Fuller, the old-fashioned revival hour, announced that he was going to preach on heaven next Sunday. So he wrote this letter: "Dear Dr. Fuller, next Sunday you are to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I've held a clear title to a bit of property there for over 55 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price, but the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. It's not a vacant lot. For more than a half a century, I've been sending materials out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need to be remodeled or repaired. It will suit me perfectly and will never deteriorate. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for it rests upon the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. I hope to hear your sermon, but I have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, and no permit for baggage. Yes, I'm ready to go, and I may not be here while you are talking next Sunday evening, but I shall meet you there that day." And that very night, he passed away. Now, you can talk about it all you want to talk about, but it's time to take some action. You got a son or a daughter or a grandma or a grandpa or a husband or a wife or a mother or a father. Everybody here has got somebody like that. You got a next door neighbor. You got somebody like that. Are they going to say, I lived beside them all those years and they never told me about this wonderful thing? It's not going to work. It's not going to do any good. Because when it's over, it's over. It's over. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Or enter into the blessedness with the other saints. What will it be? Dear Heavenly Father, speak to hearts this morning. If there are those here without Jesus, we pray that this morning will be the day of their salvation. Lord, don't let them say no one more time. Don't let them say no this time. If they're here this morning, those that are here are not certain about eternity. Lord, speak to their hearts in such a definite way that they cannot say some other time. We pray, Lord, that this invitation will please Thee. We pray for Christians that are here who have lost family members. May they care about them so much that they'll respond and bow before the Lord right here and pray definitely that somehow, some way, those family members will listen. And the Spirit of God will convict them and come to know Jesus as Savior. We pray that this invitation will please Thee, we pray. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many say, Bobby, I've got a friend I work with that's lost, and I'm going to pray more definitely for them, and I want to lift my hand and just promise the Lord right now that I'm going to do a better job in talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a friend, I know him, I see him often, may even work with him. And you have somebody like that upon your heart, just quietly. If you have somebody, a name, just raise your hand all over the building. Okay, now don't get away from that. Don't get away from that. How many would say, I've got a relative? Could be a mother, could be a brother or a sister, a father. Grandma, grandpa, I don't know. I've got a son-in-law. I've got a daughter-in-law. I've got somebody that I can name. Would you quietly slip your hand up like that all over the building? God bless you. How many have got somebody? Maybe it's your neighbor next door. I don't know. But you know somebody that's lost. And you begin to pray for them more urgently. Would you slip your hand up? Got somebody that hasn't been mentioned yet. Thank you. Thank you. If all those people were invited, some of them would come. As a matter of fact, if everybody got saved that's represented by an uplifted hand, this building would be filled up with people. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for all of these. We pray for all of these. They know their names, their people, they're alive, they're real. Some may be older, some are younger. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O Lord, we pray for each one of them individually. I'm praying for them through the hearts and through the memories of those who raised their hand. And Father, we pray that somehow, some way, that you'll give courage, boldness, the assurance. Go with them. Lead them by the Holy Spirit as they talk to the friends that have been represented by an uplifted hand today. Give compassion. Give a boldness to witness. Not a harsh witness, but a loving and kindness that says, I've been praying for you. I love you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about it? Don't you think it's time to get saved now? Speak to them that way. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, this service is for you, and this invitation is for you. I'm going to ask the pastor to come now and close the service as he sees fit.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Going to ask you to stand to your feet. I have an invitation here. We invite you to come. Step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm sure I'm not saved. I can't remember a time. Whoever time he was saying things, I remembered a time. I remembered 9/11 being in the Philippines. I remembered JFK, I was in Spanish class, and boy, just on and on. And I also remember that day when I was 14 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan. I'll never forget it. I remember that. And you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I can't remember that day. I can't remember where I was at when I asked Jesus in my heart. In fact, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you step out and come down the aisle and say, "You know what? That's me. That's me. I need to get saved. I want to be saved." You're here today and you accept Christ as personal Savior, but you haven't followed on Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You're here this morning and say, "You know, Pastor, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come on?" You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I need to follow Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come?" You're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. Why don't you come?" Boy, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you be part of this church. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunities that you've given us. Thank you for Brother Bobby being here with us and his wife. Pray, Heavenly Father, that this would be a great meeting as we have already experienced today. Lord, help us to remember those who may live next door to us or we may work with that do not know Jesus as Savior. Lord, may we be that Christian. May we that be that person that leads them to you, shows them the Savior. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us as we pray for them and help us as we go see them. Lord, now I pray you'd bless and do a great work in Jesus' name. Amen.